Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 74 of the Parenting Autism Podcast. You can find us on the web at parentingautismshow.com, or you can reach us by email at parentingautism@att.net. Here we are on a wonderful Sunday in South Florida, and I'm joined by my wife, Sandy. How are you?
Hey, honey. I'm good.
Good. Good. So let's tackle some more stuff today.
Yeah, so if this is your first time to our podcast finding us, we want to say welcome. And really the purpose of this is for Chris and I to share our journey with our son, Bryce. He was diagnosed at 2. He's just about to turn 8 years old. So we've been on this autism journey for a while. And today we're going to be talking about our recent visit to a functional medicine doctor who specializes in autism.
Dun, 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 dun.
So this is our first time actually visiting a doctor like this. We have heard doctors speak that specialize, but to have the one-on-one for Bryce, this is a first. And I think, you know, for people listening, they may not know what that means because quite honestly, I wouldn't know if I didn't have you here to tell me all this. So if I were to say, what exactly is a functional medicine doctor, what would be the easiest explanation you could provide?
Sure. The easiest way to explain it is to compare it to a regular doctor, like your pediatrician doctor. So pediatrician doctor, you come in and you have reoccurring earaches, and the pediatrician says, oh, well, you need this prescription for this reoccurring earache. So take this prescription and then we'll see you at your next earache. Functional medicine doctor would be come in for, you say, look, doc, the same doctor, they still have a medical, you know, they're a doctorate, they have a doctorate degree. And you come to them and say, look, I've got this reoccurring earache. And they say, well, let's find out why you have the reoccurring earache. Let's get to the bottom of it. Maybe, you know, I'm not a doctor. Maybe your vitamin D level is low, or maybe there's another part of your body that's not working correctly that's affecting your ears. So let's examine those possibilities. So they look for the underlying cause of whatever is happening. Yeah. And, you know, and nothing against regular doctors. They're just trained to, you come in with a symptom and then they give you a drug for that symptom. That's just what they're trained to do, mostly. Yeah.
Okay. So I get a little nervous talking about things like that because I feel like that's not my expertise either way, and I haven't gone through medical school. I know that the guy that we saw, he did go through medical school, and his experience was, I think he was a neonatal doctor, he said.
Yeah, and that's not to say, listen, that's not to say your pediatrician won't try to get to a bottom.
Yeah, I want to be really careful
of
with
a problem.
That.
But I will just say, in general, a regular medical doctor is going to look for a prescription that they can give you to solve your problem.
Well, and then if I'm hearing you correctly, if I were to take Bryce to his pediatrician, which she's fabulous, but she's just not going, she's not specializing in autism.
Right.
So she's, to me, the difference would be I'm going to this doctor because we're dealing with much more than an earache, which was a good example. But your pediatrician is dealing with all kinds, a wide variety of illnesses that come in through the door, where this particular functional medicine doctor is, yes, he takes more of a holistic approach, is probably the word that I would use. That rings a little more of a bell to me.
Yeah.
But he also is specializing in this, like you said, to dig deeper, to find out what is causing Bryce's behaviors, what is delaying Bryce's progress.
Right.
That's more what I was hearing. And that's why I think that we went and forked out a heck of a lot of money, which is fine, to invest down this venture because it's not covered by our insurance because they won't recognize this. And I think there's probably another big difference is that insurance companies only recognize certain doctors and certain prescriptions, you know, which is obvious, and certain services provided that they will cover. And this is outside of that box.
Right. I think part of the frustration among us parents is that we're finding that most pediatricians, and I just say most, they don't get the training and education on autism in medical school that they need. And then after they graduate medical school, you know, how much education are they investing in autism to learn more about that? And it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of education among pediatricians about autism. They may know what it is and the symptoms that come along with it, but they probably don't know the inner workings of the effects, you know, of the symptoms.
Right. I was going to say, unless that's what they specialized in, or that's what they did their thesis on, or that's something that they truly took a personal interest in to dig deeper. Because again, it's kind of like if I went to my general doctor, he's just going to check in my labs, check in. And then if he sees there's a problem with fill in the blank, then he may refer me to a specialist for whatever it is that he may think is a bigger problem.
Right. And I think the majority of parents out there listening to us right now have had to do their own research. And it's exhausting research to get to the bottom of behaviors, symptoms, and what's going on with their particular kid. It's not a blanket thing. You know, just because you have autism doesn't mean this particular way is going to help your child. You know, it's just, there's a lot of variable. You meet one child with autism, you've met one child with autism. So my frustration is, you know, we're fortunate to have this autism doctor within a 2-hour drive of us, you know, and that's not the case with a lot of our listeners. You know, these doctors are few and far between, and they are in the research day and night, and they know the research like the back of their hand, what's working, what's not working. They listen to the parents. They know what's working with their patients from what the parents are telling them and the videos that they take of the children before and after the protocols that they're put on. So they're very, very thorough.
Yes, and I would say that in our situation, thanks to your research and thoroughness, you were able to provide their team a lot of information in advance.
Yeah.
Which was very helpful.
Listen, we have a good relationship with our pediatrician. She, every time we go in, she's I'm so thankful for the research that you do. And I basically come in and I ask for the test that we need for Bryce, you know, because I've done the research and, you know, I'm looking for certain things on his blood work. And so the reason why we went to this functional medicine doctor was I felt like I was at the end of my road as far as research to get was, you know, going. And the rest of the stuff ahead of me was just above my grade level. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
The terminology, how the inner workings of the brain work, how the relationship between the gut and the brain, you know, yeast growth and the gut. I'm not on up to speed on all of that stuff. And I felt like we were at the point where, okay, let's go see this guy and see how much we've done, you know, has it. And how much more do we have to go? Or, you know, what else is there for Bryce as far as help for him? And, and that's where we're at.
So that's kind of where we're at. And we actually came across a video of this particular doctor right within the week that Bryce started doing some more self-injurious behaviors and hitting himself in the head and just some things that you and I were like, what? what is going on? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really emerging in a whole new way that was scary to us.
And our ABA people were saying, well, maybe you need to see a psychiatrist. And, well, that's all fine and good, but what do most psychiatrists do? They give you a prescription for something. And, you know, I just didn't want to go there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not... Everybody's case is their own. It's just we're trying to not go that route if it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. And we just felt like there's something more that we can do for Bryce. Mm-hmm. And then we heard this doctor talking about when a child, and he says specifically, when a child is hitting their head, that's just not right. There's a problem there. And he's talking about the relationship with the gut and the brain. And so we looked at each other like, yes, that is our specific concern right now, mm-hmm. among other things, but that was a headline. And so we got on the waiting list. So we've been on that waiting list for a few months and we got in, which was fine. And I had said in the last podcast that we were going to be going, and I didn't have any expectations. And I really didn't. I went with a very open mind. I will say that coming out 2 hours later, I was very, very happy that you came out feeling happy and with hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really important to me because, I mean, just keeping it all real on here, we've had some issues in the past with depression and anxiety that you've struggled with. And some of that's even, I think, creeped up again because you've been doing so much research preparing for this. Could be coincidence. I just kind of think it kind of goes hand in hand because you've been really digging in deeper and all these problems have been coming up with Bryce. So I was concerned. You know, I feel like sometimes I have two patients I'm very concerned about with you, you know, with your frame of mind and then also with Bryce. So it was important to me that you would get out of this what you hope to have because I think you did have some expectations, maybe more than I did.
Well,
I don't think I did.
No? I went in and like I said, I felt like I've done a lot of things or we have done a lot of things for Bryce.
Oh, yeah.
That are known to help with autism, like the diet. You know, we found out he was low on vitamin D. So we started supplementing him with vitamin D. We did the genetic testing that came back pretty much normal, nothing to do with autism on that.
Right.
You know, so I didn't know really what to expect. All I knew was this guy was very educated in autism.
Right.
And he's had a lot of success with kids that he's seen. And he's a well-known doctor that's on the list of doctors that you would see for somebody with autism. And I think my anxiety level just happened to coincidentally be high before this doctor's appointment because I've had a lot of, I would say, projects or things that need to be done. And the living room floor, you know, we're working on that. And I did not expect to find mold under the floor when I took it up to replace it.
Right.
And so that was a big deal, which put everything else that I was trying to accomplish behind. And then we thought we were going to get a nice floor and I could install it, but turns out the floor that we bought was El Junco and it was just falling apart as we were trying to install it. And it looked like it was hefty but when you go to install it was terrible. So we had to take all that back.
Yeah.
And then to find out who we thought could install it for us was another month out. I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I was like, I threw my hands up. I'm like, I surrender. You know, our living room has been dismantled for a month now.
Right.
And I think everything came crashing down.
I think just to address this a little more, but, you know, with our emotions and with parenting autism and stuff, there are times that it can leave us vulnerable to where something that wouldn't normally turn something small into something mm-hmm. big. It's like almost the gasoline has been poured on. So then the match was when they said, okay, we can't do your floor till October 20th.
Yeah.
What? that? Because, and, you know, our house is in shambles.
Right. And here...
And that is stressful for me, yes, too, believe me.
And I'm trying... I tried my best to work on it.
I know.
And while I was working on it, I was taking away from Bryce's school to do that. So there was a lot of things pushing and pulling on me, and I'm like...
and that's my point. Like, life happens. So you've got homeschooling. Yep. You've got Bryce's behaviors and his health that we're trying to really get some answers for, and things that have been emerging that, you know, have concerns for us. And then you throw in unexpected housing issues. And black mold is a big one. I mean, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows that I struggle with reflux and coughing and have been to a specialist. And so we're hoping and praying that this discovery may help my health as well. And then we know that it's not good for you or Bryce either. So thankfully it was contained to just one wall.
And we've got it fixed. People are probably wondering about how we discovered it and what it looked like and all that. So I'll just briefly say that we're going to replace our laminate in our living room and with a more modern floor. And so I took up the old laminate, and I found that underneath the laminate near the front windows was just soaked. And, you know, for the past year or two, whenever we'd come back from being away a day or two, I always smelled the smell coming in the front door. And you didn't smell it as much, but I did. And when I pulled that floor up, that was the smell that I had been smelling. So it had been that way for a while. And so we had a few mold companies come over, and the wall was not saturated, but most of them suggested taking some of the drywall out. So that was one of my projects. Yeah. I took the drywall out. I had to get the mask. I had to kill the mold with peroxide. And so the bottom line was I had to re-caulk the windows, because that's where the water was coming in at whenever it rained. And down here in South Florida, I guess caulk does not last on the windows very long.
Yep.
And so I'm in the process of re-caulking all the windows, but I got the three front ones done. We water tested it, and there's no water coming in, and it smells a lot better. And,
and we're on the right track. Flooring.
We picked out the floor, and now we have somebody coming to install it. So
we're a little happy.
We're happier now. So that's that side track.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a little drama going on around here, but throw in this doctor visit on top of all that, which again was planned months ago. You know, it just again, been a little crazy.
And they even called me like a couple of times. Oh, we've had a cancellation. Can you come down? And we're like, no, we can't.
Yeah.
I'm not on the spur of the moment. We just can't.
Yeah, it worked with my work schedule. Yeah. So I took the day off. We went down. We actually made it a fun little getaway and went down the night before and stayed in a hotel. Price loves hotels, and he always loves to stay on the highest floor. So we picked a new one that had 7 floors, and actually they had 8 floors. And they told us that we could stay on the top floor, which is the 7th. So Bryce was questioning it. Why are there 8 floors and we can only stay on the 7th? So he asked, which was great. He asked an employee who worked there. And so then she explained that there was an issue on the 8th floor. Nobody could stay up there. It was a new hotel that was only like 3 months old.
Mm-hmm.
But and then he saw fire trucks. He goes, was there a fire up there? I mean, he was like very inquisitive about it.
It was funny. The fire truck was right in front of the hotel, like something was going on. But they were checking the elevators.
Yes.
So I guess that's what the fire department does.
Great to watch Bryce, though, address these things and talk to people, because that was one of the big takeaways from this visit. So I will say that when we met the doctor, we met with his staff first, and, you know, to compare it, for me, it felt like one of those days where I'm either at an IEP meeting where you're having to address all these, answer all these questions about your son or your child. And or one of my BCBA reviews that they do once a year, where we're saying where he's improved, where he hasn't improved, where he's behind, you know, that sort of thing. It was like that, you know, as I put it on my Facebook post, you know, it's one of those days that you just have to really, you just have to confront what you're dealing with. And you can't just put it to the side, and you have to address that, okay, he does have some deficits, but you also get to address that he has a lot of positives. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were trying to focus on. The doctor came in briefly and asked Bryce a couple questions, and he was just trying to feel him out. But most of his time was spent with us mm-hmm. as the parents, asking yeah. us a lot of questions, but not even asking us as many questions as, like, he knew he had a certain amount of time to talk to us. And so mm-hmm. it was like, what did you call it? A fire hose of information out of a water cup. Like, you're drinking out of a fire hose. It was so much information. You'd be like, you know, oh, I don't yeah, know. I can take all that in. It was a lot to process.
Yeah. But I think he sees a lot of patients during the day, and he tries to give the parents enough information to understand where mm-hmm. he's coming from and the path behind the root of what he's thinking,
yeah.
you know, for yeah. the path forward.
I was very calm and at peace about everything. I was really just observing and listening, and then chimed in when I felt I needed to chime in. You know?
He mentioned a couple of times, he's like, oh, you've got this blood work done. We don't have to redo the blood work. I'm so thankful that you did that. You know, you're on the gluten-free, casein-free, so you know all about that. And
what we did is IgG, so we knew what foods were sensitive.
Yep, so
you took your poop chart, which he was yes. impressed with your OCD poop chart. <He's>
like, so I always laugh when I see a poop chart. That tells me you're OCD. So, yeah, it's funny.
But one of the big goals that we walked away with was to get Bryce's bowels regulated.
Get him pooping.
That's yeah. one of the main things we're going to be focusing on. This doctor said he's seen over 8,000 patients in the last 10 or 12 years that he's been specializing mm-hmm. in this. And
Bryce is a complicated case.
That is what he said. He said that Bryce is a complicated case. He says he maybe says that once or twice a year. Mm-hmm. And the reason why Bryce is complicated is because he had the brain seizure. And because...
The stroke.
I'm sorry. He did have seizures, but it was mm-hmm. a stroke. It was yeah. a major brain bleed. And I have always said, how can that not impact his brain in some way? Mm-hmm. I mean, it had to rewire, so somehow it rewired, and I know there's other yeah. things, but it does make it complicated. I think mm-hmm. it's always, to me, has always made it more complicated. But the thing with that is, because we threw him that curveball, it wasn't maybe the typical
protocol
that he would mm-hmm. have for other parents,
right?
And also, we are kind of at a different stage, I believe, than most of the families that he sees.
I think, yeah, Bryce is probably further along yes. than most of the patients that he yes. sees. He's more verbal, yes. more sentences.
Absolutely.
He was a little upset when we told him that we did not have a follow-up scan from the brain bleed. And he was very surprised that the neurologist did not want to take another look inside his head to see if any of it has regrown, or, you know, what the scoop is. He's like, I can't believe, you know, this neurologist won't go back in there and want to see it. And our neurologist's view was, well, he seems fine on the outside. You know, we'd probably have to sedate him to put him in the MRI machine. So he really didn't want to do that.
Because I ask,
yeah,
would it be beneficial I asked this past summer when we went, mm-hmm. and a couple months ago, and would it be beneficial to do another MRI? And it's not like I want to make Bryce go through this, mm-hmm. but I feel like we don't have all the answers. And the last time yeah. we actually did see anything, you know, from the EGG for his brain, we could see that there was still activity going on inside, even though we're not yeah. seeing
the EEG.
Anything from the outside. What did I say? Yeah. EGG?
Yeah.
EEG.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, and the doctor here, he was calling it like itchy brain. He's like, you know, I'm concerned about what to prescribe him or what to recommend to do, because they're not really prescriptions, but, you know, what do I recommend that he take and what he does if he's still got that going on, because we have to be very careful that we don't right. want to trigger seizures.
We don't want to give him something to excite his brain if that's going to push him past the threshold of a seizure.
It's a big, big, big
he's like,
thing
you
to consider.
he can be having seizures and it may be interrupting his thought process. It may be interrupting his language, and it's not an outward sign. You don't see an outward sign of it. So he's not, you know, shaking or, you know, what you would think of with a typical
or the staring
seizure,
off that
right?
Kind of thing,
yeah. So he says, and he pointed to this graphic of, there's a certain type of machine that's not EEG. They don't put the leads on your head, but right. they can see further down in the brain, and they can locate seizures going on toward the center of the brain that the EEG does not pick up because the leads are on your scalp. They can't go deep enough
right.
to detect the seizures that are deeper. So I think our first step in that regard is to get the MRI to see if it is healing or if it is healed or if it's still there. You know, I doubt that it's worse, but hey, it could be worse. I don't know. It might have still been bleeding the last time that we had the MRI done. I don't know.
We truly have no idea.
Don't know. So he's like, we've got to get another MRI to see where he's at. He was pretty adamant about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I think we both easily agreed that, okay, then I would say it's time for us to get a different neurologist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every person in our life has a season, and even with doctors, they have their seasons. And, mm-hmm. you know, we are very grateful to our neurologist who has treated
nice.
Bright
so
well.
Accommodating.
Like I told you today, I mean, he gave us his personal cell number
yes.
to stay in touch with him. This man genuinely cares.
He gave our diagnosis right away when he saw
yes,
him.
Yes, he's been where he was supposed to be. But
yeah.
I could tell even this last time, he was kind of like, why are you here to see me?
Yeah.
Why are you here? And, you know, he looks great. He's doing well. And he is on
yeah.
many levels. And yet he's not, you know, doing as well as we think he could possibly do. I don't know. Maybe he is, and that's what we're trying to get those answers.
Mm-hmm.
Is he doing the best he can possibly
right.
do? And if he is, fabulous.
Right.
If he's not, then what else could we possibly do to help
mm-hmm.
him live his best life? It's a very delicate, tricky kind of situation here, but
mm-hmm.
it's kind of the crossroad we're at. And as we were talking to him, you know, the doctor, he was saying, okay, you know, you have that 3 to 5 window. And I imagine a lot of his patients are in that 3 to 5 window,
mm-hmm.
ages 3 to 5, because we know, and we've talked about it on this podcast, you know, you feel like you're running a race
yes.
when you first get your diagnosis, because most kids are diagnosed at age 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, the brain develops until 5. And then after 5, it slows
well,
down and
right.
the curve starts to flatten. And then
right.
you think if you don't see all that you need to see by 5, that you're losing hope. And I struggled with that when Bryce turned 6.
I remember that.
And, you know, I was like, I had to really get past that. But Bryce has continued to develop even between age 6 and 8. But you know what? We are hitting another plateau. So he even said 3 to 5, 5 to 7, and then 8 to 12. Well, Bryce is going to be entering 8 to 12.
Mm-hmm. He's almost 8.
At 8 to 12, it flattens even more. And I understand what he's saying.
It's
your
not that
brain
you're
slows down the development
right.
as a rule of thumb. It still develops, just a different pace.
It's not that you can't learn anything new, because, of course,
right.
kids learn
We're
through
always
high
learning.
School and college. But the, I guess the actual production of neurons or the growth of the actual brain slows at that time.
And I have heard that
yeah.
once you hit puberty and you become a teen, it picks back up again for a period of time. Just like your body has growth spurts,
mm-hmm.
your brain has growth spurts. So
yeah.
I didn't really let that get me down this time, you know, like not today. Anyway, I'm not feeling it. You know, that he's going into this 8 to 12. I'm really okay with that. Again, just trying to figure out what all we can do for him. But the reality is we're going into that next level, or, you know,
yeah.
what's going on there.
All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. Our neighbor rang the doorbell. I'm like, who's that? And neighbor
no,
needed
I
help, so we helped
one.
The neighbor.
Yeah,
so
there we go.
We're back.
Okay, so we're talking about the doctor, and his strategy is to work from the bottom up, and he showed us like a slide that had all these different words and circles, and basically he wants to start with Bryce's gut, you know, and his bowels, and then kind of work up toward the brain to see if we can figure out the problem. So one major thing we did was we took all of the supplements that we are currently giving Bryce. And so he looked at all of that and kind of said, yes, stay with this, stay with this. Okay, this I would change to this. We were giving him like 5,000 count on the vitamin D. And he's like, oh, you know, I know he was deficient, but that might be a little too much. Let's go every other day on that so he can finish up that bottle. You know, just like those little things and the feedback. And so we came home with a new plan for supplements. And his strategy is you start at week one, get Bryce acclimated to that, and then add, keep everything from week one, but then you build upon that in week two, and then you'll build upon that in week three, et cetera, right, et cetera. And we're going to be doing this, I think, 8 to 10 weeks is kind of what we committed to.
Yes.
Before we go back and run some blood work and get results.
He wants, the first thing, the major priority is to getting him pooping once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we've gotten it down to like every 3 to 4 days with the magnesium that he was taking. So now we've added a couple of more things to his regimen from the past 3 days or 4 days since we've been back. But he says once we get him pooping regularly, he gave us a kit to send away for a stool analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I need to know what's going on in his gut. So once you get him pooping, do this stool analysis. We're going to send that away and get the results and find out if he has a yeast overgrowth or what exactly is going on in his gut that's causing constipation. So
I'll be very curious to see what comes back with that, because he seems very anxious to be able to
read those results. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's priority one. And then, like you said, week after week, we add something else. And I think he does that. He staggers everything just in case there's an adverse reaction. Maybe something makes him too hyper or makes him too sleepy or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And with Bryce, he doesn't really lash out or get angry. I imagine that some children do. But, you know, we definitely are monitoring his behaviors. Mm-hmm. And also, like, is this affecting his tummy?
Mm-hmm.
Because he has been more gassy than usual.
Mm-hmm.
And he says something like, my tummy hurts, but I'd never really know with him. He doesn't.
He has a high pain tolerance. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
But in any case, so we're working on the gut first. And then like week 8, I believe we take him in for a round of blood work.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can see where he is compared to the blood work that we've had before. And he may have added one or two new things that he wants to look at. So he wants the blood work before we come back and see him for the follow-up. And then at the follow-up, we'll go over those results and then go from there. See what improvements he's made. They'll probably do another video of him, asking him questions and playing with him and seeing if he's more interactive, more social, saying his sentences correctly, that type of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, that was definitely something specific to come back with, again, with some hope that maybe we're on. He definitely encouraged us that we're on the right track, but if we can do this tweaking and see if we can see things different. You know, he said number two, the goal was more language and then also social for him.
Yeah. He really felt that social could even supersede school. It was that important because he said that will determine how far he goes in life is if he can communicate with people on a certain level, you know, and be able to have a back and forth conversation and express himself. And so I don't think he realized how far Bryce had come because he only spent a couple minutes with him in the beginning. And he was asking us about sentences and we're like, oh, he's saying sentences and he's asking why. And he's like, oh, he's asking why. I'm like, yes. Like
all the time
he's asking why. So he's like, okay, then let me regroup on this. And if he's already doing that, then we're going to skip plan A, which was a different kind of protocol, and we're going to go to plan B for him. And, you know, he reiterated that he's not a difficult case, but
complicated.
A challenge. Complicated, yes.
Yeah. Case. And I think that was affirmation for me that our timing to go see him was good, because the reality is we've been able to
we've done
get
plan
Bryce
A.
to this point.
Yeah, we've already done
which is
done
where
plan
he would
A.
have been.
Yeah.
You know, to try to get him to three or four word sentences and try to get him to where he's asking why questions. That was our goal 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember that specifically when we wrote that last IEP and we were trying to get him streamlined into kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
So, praise God. I mean, yeah. we've gotten that far, but we've definitely hit another wall of progress. And you know, for me, this is where it just like gets kind of hard for me. Like, what am I wanting? What am I expecting? I mean, he is having conversations with us. A lot of it, he's trying to learn things. He's asking us all kinds of questions about the Bible now, which is big for me because I wanted him to. Mm-hmm. And yet it's still very difficult to have these conversations with him because he gets so confused about things. And mm-hmm. it's not easy to even explain the things that he's asking us questions about.
Because he doesn't have the grasp of
yes.
that understanding.
Yeah, yeah, he just doesn't have the understanding. I mean, okay, so it's kind of funny. It's kind of not. But yes. today... we have his cousin Storm over here, and my brother came over to watch the football game with us today. And Storm went to the bathroom, and he was out of the room. And then Bryce goes, "Where's Storm? Mommy, where's Storm? Did he die? Where right. is Storm?" And we're like, "Did he die? No, right. he went to the bathroom." But right. because he disappeared, he associated that maybe he died because he knows when people die, you don't see them anymore.
Right.
So, like, that's how he processes. And again, he's about to turn 8, and that's where he's at in his
right.
processing of information. So
that's where we need
we
to go.
We have a long ways to
yes,
go.
Yes, we do have a long way to go.
You know?
But I feel like
he's
we
come
have,
a long way.
Yeah.
So.
And I feel like this doctor filled in a lot of blanks. You know, where do we go from here? And I think he's set for us a clear path forward and that I feel good about, you know. And
so what do you hope to see in 8 weeks? I mean, and besides the poop, let's go with the language.
Listen,
or behaviors. What would you hope to see?
I would love, and I don't know that it's going to happen over 8 weeks.
I know, I'm just asking
not,
what you...
But I'd love to see an improvement. And I don't care what kind of improvement it is, but I would like to.
In any
you know,
area?
And this reminds me about what he said about stimming. You know, Bryce stims a lot. He flaps his hands. And he was explaining to us in the brain that when you stim... that means the communication in the brain missed its mark. So, like, there's an electrical signal that started somewhere that told Bryce that he was excited. But instead of either going to the language part of his brain to say that he was excited or the feeling that he's excited, going to that feeling yeah. That he's excited, it went to his motor part of his brain.
Yeah.
And does the flapping, you yeah. know? So that was an aha moment for me.
It was an aha moment,
you know?
I agree.
I'm like,
it was
well,
for
okay,
me as well.
Wow, okay, I understand that, you know? And
then when I pointed out to him, I said, well, I know his brain rewired in some ways, but I also know it's fairly common with autism that sometimes the pronouns get mixed up. But Bryce mixes up his pronouns still. Some
mm-hmm.
we've worked on it, but he'll mix up our names. He mixes up a lot of things. Like, things just aren't firing correctly.
And like what I explained to you the other day, we were doing school and he had to do, I think we were working on math, and he had to write the number 3. He's like, "Daddy, can you write it for me?" I'm like, "No, you have to write it." He's like, "Can you show it to me?"
Yeah.
I said, "You don't remember how to write a number 3?" And he says, "No." And, I mean, he's written a lot of 3s.
And he recognizes all of his numbers and letters.
It was very interesting to me that he needed me to write the number to
yeah.
show him. And it wasn't like, write it on my paper as part of the answer, Daddy, to do it for me. It was, show it to me on a different sheet of paper or on the whiteboard. He didn't care where I showed it to him. You know, he it's not like he was trying to convince me to do the work for
no,
him.
No, he just needed
you know?
To see it so he that he could
it,
do it.
So he could write it.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I mean, there's no doubt his brain is complicated.
There's some connections that are
and
just,
there
you know,
are some things. So that's, you know, hey, if this can improve that for him at all, it's just going to give him a better quality mm-hmm. of life and less frustrations. And I think that's my end goal for mm-hmm. him, you know, that it will be that he'll have less anxiety and he'll have less yeah. frustrations. And I hope this does help him with his anxiety
yeah.
and worrying about things.
And, you know, he was reiterating, you know, get him into social situations as much as you can so that he can learn more of the language, so he can hear how it's spoken, so he can receive it. You know, and learn how people talk back and forth.
In a natural environment.
In a natural environment.
What he was pointing out is very true. If Bryce's exposure is limited to therapists, for the most part, therapists, and I hear it too, speak to him in a really slow, distinct manner in certain ways because they're teaching him language mm-hmm. in an educational way, more than a real life way. So with us, I will hear myself sometimes speaking very slowly to him if I need to get a certain point across. But for the most part, I'm very chill like this, mm-hmm. you know, and we do use a lot of slang with him that he may not understand. But then he'll ask us, what does that mean? Or it confuses him. And that's okay. You know, sometimes I put it out there just because other people are going to put it out there for him. And I want him to either learn how to ask if he doesn't understand what it is or maybe learn what it is, you mm-hmm. know. Trying to give him more of that natural environment is a good goal, whether it be with an adult or whether it be with a peer. I know that children tend to learn more from children, and that's why it's encouraged so highly for them to have social activity. But it also depends what children you have him around as to what behaviors he will have, and that's with typical children too.
You know, one other thing that comes to my mind that he doesn't do right now and he's never really done is when somebody comes to the door, he opens the door and he doesn't say a word.
Nope.
Like the other person will say, hi, how are you, Bryce? And it's like all of a sudden he's mute. It's like
it freezes him up. And I'll even say before we go there, because that's something we're working
yes,
on. It's
even
on one
before
of the goals.
We answer the door, we'll say, make sure you say hi.
Yep.
And then when the door opens, nothing.
Nope. He just kind of gets this shrug shoulder shy thing and turns around. So maybe it's just too hard for him looking at them. I mean,
maybe,
there's something there.
Maybe there's just too much. It's an overload of information coming in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
About who this is, what they're doing here, what are they going to do? Are they here for me? Are they here for mommy and daddy? You know,
even when Miss Melanie comes and he knows who she is and he knows why she's coming,
I know
he can't give her a proper greeting. So we even worked at it at mom and dad's, and he's just like, no, mommy, you know. So there's some reason that it's hard for him.
Yeah.
And I think it's legitimately hard for him, but he can't express to us why.
Right.
So, you know, if you can't get past that, that's kind of our point, is trying to help him with these little things that's going to help him
yeah.
progress further.
Listen, what's the
with relationships
what's
in
the
life?
First step in making a friend? You say hello. Mm-hmm. You say hi to somebody. I mean, we got to get him past that. it's yeah.
Okay, so one of the things that we're trying is he will now FaceTime with his little friend Michael. And they're playing a game together, which is great. And we can hear the conversations going back and forth. And there really are conversations going back and forth between them.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. I heard Michael, I think it was last night, he's, Bryce, stop asking me about the music, okay? Bryce, do you understand me? You've already asked me about that music four times. Stop asking me about the music.
You gotta love kids.
And Bryce went, okay.
Okay.
But you and I were laughing and we're like, yes,
yeah.
That's what he needs.
We don't do that for
someone
whatever reason.
I mean, well, we might say we've already heard, you know, but it's
yeah.
great coming from a peer.
Yes.
It's great coming from a friend. And Michael's not trying to be mean about it. And
yeah.
Listen, Michael handles Bryce so, so well. But I loved hearing him, like, tell me. And then Bryce heard it and he's like, okay. You know, like, and he didn't. He didn't ask him anymore about it.
He recognized the problem
yep.
and he forfeited.
So we're trying to get him and Michael together even 2 to 3 times a week for that social interaction, which we didn't have that before, and that's big.
Mm-hmm.
And now at church, he's no longer in the isolated buddy room when he when it's the right person there for him, mm-hmm. he's actually going into the children's studio.
And he's liking
it. And he's really liking it. He's participating in the questions and in the dance time. He gets a prize
for bringing his Bible.
And then he's seeing, you know, 30, 40 other kids mm-hmm. doing other things. And yeah. this is what we're talking about. Like, even if it doesn't have to be social where he's sitting down and having a back and forth conversation with them, it's also social where he's observing. Mm-hmm. Like, what do they do?
Just being in the same room.
I should do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're doing that? Okay, I will do that too. Oh, they're having fun and dancing? Okay, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
That's great social for him. So, yeah. you know, yes, we have some one-on-ones. You know, I know you're going to look into this other place where he may be able to get some more mm-hmm. social activity that's on a homeschool level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I had already talked about homeschooling and saying, yes, we know it's important to teach Bryce, and I do think it's very important to teach him the basics of education, getting sure. him to read, getting him his basic math, getting him a lot of things that's going to help him with understand life skills,
yeah. mm-hmm.
be able to communicate with other people, understand his world around him, and eliminate anxiety and frustration, because now that he can read, that has helped him tremendously.
Yeah.
In so many ways, even with the anxiety. But we also have talked about, you know, if it doesn't help him in his future, ditch it. That's why you're the teacher. And mm-hmm. we have the ability to do that and still give him the core education he needs. But we also have to get him social. So that's why, you know, we have so much time that we dedicate to school and education, but also so much equal time, if not more, dedicated to his therapies, which this doctor was all about keeping his therapies.
Mm-hmm.
Very important for Bryce. But we just have to keep that social, which, you know, I've been a big component about that.
And you know what else is? I've also heard that if you can get the brain functioning properly, then the therapy will start to work even better.
True.
So you can only get so far in therapy with the brain. It's like a car that has an engine miss working on not all the cylinders, you know, and it's going to have trouble getting up the hills. But if you have the car running good, you're going to get up the hill and then beyond, you know. So I'm very hopeful in this new protocol that we have to be able to, if his brain gets better, then he'll start excelling in the speech and the language and the OT that he's doing.
Yeah, you know, and we've recently discovered that I think sensory has a lot to do with this as well, because if his mind is so distracted because he can't process mm-hmm. so many things and has so many sensory issues, that's going to prevent his ability to focus and learn as yeah. well. And not only that, but interact and social and all of that.
And what did the doctor say when we told him, once we put him on the diet, we were seeing all this vestibular input that he needed, like going upside down on the couch. Do you remember what he said?
Well, yeah, yeah. That was because, and we said it happened after the diet, and it's because it removed all the crap, you know, all the bad stuff out of him, all the junk. And that, and we knew that's what mm-hmm. happened. I mean, he was out of the fog.
Yes.
Yeah. Is what it was. But now yeah. it's like, woo, okay, we got to help him. He doesn't know what to do with all
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've talked about it, and we've got that machine that will help him, which we need to just make that part of his daily routine.
Yeah, what's that thing called? The upside down
inversion table. Yeah. yeah, so, you know, we just got to make it consistently, just like mm-hmm. supplements. Listen, yeah. we keep, Chris and I are very good about keeping a lot of charts. But you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't remember all this stuff. And you could ask me what we did last week, and I'm not going to be able to tell you. I might think that we did it four times last week. Mm-hmm. And when in reality, we might have done it one or two.
Right. Right.
So if we write these things down, then the headlines, you mm-hmm. know, like right now it's supplements, bowel movements. And I think we should also record how many times we do the machine with him, because mm-hmm. I find yeah. that's important for him.
Sure.
And then I'm getting him to the Defy exercise place once a week so he can kind of get that yeah. outlet. And you know, so we're just working on those kind of things.
And I don't think we really need to go over what supplements he's on right now, because
no.
A, of course, we haven't really seen any improvement because we just started it. And B, every child is different,
yeah.
you know, according to their symptoms, their blood work, and their personal, you know, condition. So,
correct.
And I'm on a lot of autism groups, and I see, you know, somebody will post, has such and such worked for anybody, you know, and 50% of the people come on and say, oh, yes, it's done wonders for our son, or, you know, we've seen this improvement, that improvement, and then the other half will say, no, we tried it for 3 years and nothing, or, you know, we were on it for 6 months and we didn't see any improvement at all, or it caused aggression when we tried that, or, you know, so
everybody's different.
It's just a mixed bag, and every kid is different.
It is, you know, and that's why when we decided to do this podcast, I'm like, we just have to keep this about Bryce, and we're not people mm-hmm. out here giving advice and saying, try what we do. We're just saying, hey, this is what we've discovered. This is what works for us. Yeah. And if you think it can help,
right,
we're just sharing.
We can say what we've tried and what we've seen.
But, so, you know, to the point that we're saying it works for some and it doesn't work for others. Another thing that he said that he doesn't say to maybe once or twice a year to his patients is that he thought the oxygen chamber,
the hyperbaric chamber may work,
might be beneficial to Bryce because it might just kickstart something that didn't get kickstarted because of the brain damage mm-hmm. that was there from the bleed.
Yeah.
And that's why he said this is, I maybe say this once a year, twice at the most right. to any of the families
because it costs a lot of money.
Yes. And so, ironically or divinely, you don't know which way, but you got a post that came up about that through the TACA Facebook post. And so you told me to read it. And it was talking about using the chamber and people's mm-hmm. feedback. And again, it was hit and miss.
It was mixed. Yeah.
Because each every person's different. And then yeah. one parent said, oh, yeah, we use it. We love it. Another one said, they call them dives every time you go in. Yeah, we did
a dive.
50 dives. No, they did a yeah. lot of dives. And it worked while we were doing it. But as soon as we stopped, it no longer worked. Well, how disappointing would that be if right. you have to be dependent on that for your life? I mean, you'd have to own the machine, yeah. not right, rent right. the machine, you know?
Yeah, and we talked to him further toward the end of our session with him. And I just wanted to reiterate. I'm like, okay, so we're going to go through these protocols with you. And then the hyperbaric chamber is kind of on the back burner until we connect all these dots. And he's like, yes, exactly.
Yeah, he kind of said, it's very expensive, yeah. you know, and unless, you know, but if you fall into a lot of money,
yes.
that's how you put it, then it's something I would definitely say that you should look into. Yeah, so yeah. it wasn't like this is going to save the day.
No.
If I thought that it would, well, we'd have one.
Right.
You
right,
know,
right.
but I know there's other families that have tried it and it didn't work. So you just don't right. know. You have to, you know, you just have to go with what you know is going to be best for your family and for your situation mm-hmm. and follow that path.
Yep.
You know, we're people of faith, so we do a lot of praying, and mm-hmm. the messages at church lately, the whole series has been about the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit, and I really have been praying for discernment on this journey because there's so many decisions to make. And I think that's one thing that I took away from this. I was very quiet when we left because
there was a lot of information.
It was a lot of information. I said, I don't know I can talk about it yet. I needed to really process a lot. But I felt the weight of the responsibility of being Bryce's advocate when I left.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell you in those words mm-hmm. till now. But I did feel a very heavy weight on my heart about that because here we are going to somebody and trusting this person's recommendations.
Sure.
And we are putting now all of these new things into Bryce's body and his mm-hmm. system and seeing how he responds to it when he does have possibly activity still going on in his brain. And, you know, we've made a lot of wonderful decisions for him. And I feel encouraged by that. I feel assured by that, you know, we have been led, you know, by God to do many right things for him. But yet it's still a burden that we're going to carry all of our lives, I believe, making these kind of decisions for him. He asked us, do you see him living independently? I mean, he's pretty upfront about it. He kind of just wanted to know where we stand. Mm-hmm. And again, Bryce is only turning 8. But if you ask me today, no. I can't even imagine him living independently.
Right.
You know, could things change? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But Is the window getting smaller for that opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do I have to come to terms with that? Absolutely. You know, so those our decisions get based on those kind of forecasts, you know, that are out there and he's dealing with that
right
reality.
Now, and I feel like we need to plan as if he's not going to be able to live on his own independently. I feel like I would be a failure if I didn't, you know.
We wouldn't be wise if we did not plan that way.
If we didn't plan that way.
Listen, it could all change.
Failure to plan is planning to fail.
Yes. And I believe that with Bryce, I know you had mentioned college fund the other day. If it can go to college, great. I'm just trying to get him to where he can work a trade, or we've even talked about starting some type of business that Bryce can do and mm-hmm. continue to earn income from. And that's probably the path we're going to look for him. We're entrepreneurs. You know, we've got that creativity, and I really want to see what his interests are and his talents and his skills and help prepare him for his future, but it's not going to be in the typical fashion. I mm-hmm. don't see him going to 4 years college and then trying to get a job and having, again, I could be wrong. And if that's the case, okay, we'll follow that path. But I think we have to be wise and we have to recognize and acknowledge what we're dealing with. And then this is going to give us even more answers how to help him mm-hmm. and how this will help him and help him live his best life. So that's kind of where we're at after this.
I think we'll know within the next year, and I'm guessing, but I think we'll know within the next year if we've hit on something that is going to get him over the hump here, you know, like catching up.
Are we going to be catching up?
But we're starting something new now. And you know what I mean? So I guess what I should say is I think we'll know within a year from starting this new protocol if it's going to help him catch up or not.
Well, or bridge that gap. Because he's continued to progress.
He's progressing, there's no doubt.
He's probably continuously of two to three years
behind.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though he is at his appropriate grade level in school
academically,
and he is
no problem
learning those mm-hmm. things, his understanding of things is still
definitely
2 to 3
the
years
cognitive
behind. the social
the comprehension
it's
just so, like putting it all together it's tricky for him, but he's doing so great. So again, Bryce is complicated. What can we say?
Yes,
you know,
it's
okay, but I'm again, just so grateful that he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was watching him today and he came out of church and then he's doing his little flapping and jumping and he's so happy. And I looked at you and I'm like, that's what I want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any of these things that we're doing to destroy the joy that is in that boy.
He's got
and
joy.
I'm very, very aware of that. And again, part of that advocacy and the way that I feel being called to be his parent with you is we've got to protect that for him.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want that to go away. And I just want to help him even be happier
mm-hmm.
all the time, you know, and remove those fears and those anxieties.
Right. He does have a lot of anxiety.
He does. And
that's another thing we're trying to tackle.
That's what I hope we get out of this. You know, I written down, you know, what is my goal for this? And it's the ability to be able to communicate his thoughts and his emotions and his needs more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
If all these changes can help him communicate those things more clearly, that's a win for me.
Awesome.
Okay. Last thing I'm going to share.
Yep.
And we're going to wrap this up. I heard this on a podcast this week and it really resonated with me. And I want to share that for all the listeners is the word hope. And I forget what they call that when each letter stands for something.
Acronym?
Maybe. But I think there's another word for that.
Okay.
But basically, if you say hope, it's hold on, pain ends. That's your H-O-P-E.
Hold on,
pain ends. Don't give up hope. Wherever you're at on this journey, don't give up hope because it is going to get better. And sometimes it feels like, oh, is this ever going to end? I'm so down. I can't get back up. you know, but hold on. The pain will end and you're going to find that joy again. You know, it's baby steps and you just got to make that U-turn and start going back up. And I really found that encouraging when I heard that. And I wanted to share that to our listeners, because I know there's a lot of a hurt on this journey, but there's also a lot of hope in this journey.
Cool. So very good advice. And if anybody out there would like to leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify or whatever platform you're listening on, we surely would appreciate it. It'll help other people tune in and hear what we have to say. And we get a lot of feedback that people just like how authentic we are, and they love our podcast and our stories with Bryce. And we appreciate that feedback when they send us an email or whatever. So
we do. And we're really happy that we're able to share our journey and help each other along the way. Yeah,
and if you don't know how to do the review, I know on iTunes, if I'm in the podcast and I have our logo up on the screen, you just scroll down to like where the episodes are, and if you just keep scrolling, there's a spot where it'll say write a review, and you can put the stars in there and then words under that. So
that would be great.
That's how you do it. And that's episode 74, and we'll see you soon. We'll talk soon.
Actually, we're going to go away for a couple of weeks. We got family coming down from Maryland. So we'll be back in October after Bryce's birthday.
Yeah.
And we'll look forward to chatting with you then and catching up on the journey.
See
ya. All right. Bye.
Bye.